Hallelujah. Today's scripture reading, we have two places. The first one is the Hebrew chapter 3, verse 1 to 6, and the second one is Numbers 12, verse 7. Today's title is, Be Faithful Just as Moses Was Faithful in God's Whole House. Be faithful just as Moses was faithful in God's whole house. I'll let read the Hebrew chapter 3, verse 1 to 6. Therefore, holy brethren, the partakers of heavenly calling, consider Jesus the apostle and the high priest of our confessions. He was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses also was in all his house. For he has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, by just so much as the builder of the house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Now Moses was faithful in all his house as a servant, for the testimony of those things which were to be spoken later. But Christ was faithful as a son over his house, whose house we are, if we hold fast our confidence and the boast of our hope firm until the end. The second one is Numbers chapter 12, verse 7. Not so with my servant Moses, he is faithful in all my household. This is the word of God. Today, the scripture speaks to us regarding the faithfulness of Moses. In our text, Hebrew chapter 3, verse 2, we discover a remarkable point. Jesus was faithful to the Father in the very same way that Moses was faithful within God's house. This is not intended to assert Moses' superiority, rather it serves to demonstrate that Jesus' faithfulness is far greater. If Moses, the figure most revered by the Jewish people, was faithful to God's house merely as a servant, then Jesus, as the Son of God, who actually built the house, possessed a faithfulness of a far higher order. While Moses' faithfulness was that of a servant, Jesus' faithfulness is that of a son, a distinction that placed them on entirely different plans. Nevertheless, the very fact that the faithfulness of Moses was cited to illustrate the faithfulness of Jesus, the Son of God, speaks volumes. It serves as a powerful testament to the extent to which God acknowledged and approved of Moses' faithfulness. Furthermore, the base of the statement in the main text, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 2, that Moses was faithful in all God's house is found in the citation of the words recorded in Numbers chapter 12, verse 7. According to the account in Numbers chapter 12, so Miriam and Aaron slandered Moses because he had taken a Cushite woman as his wife. In doing so, they challenged Moses' authority, asking, Does God speak only to you? Does he not speak to us as well? God heard these words. However, Moses offers no retort to their remarks. The scripture simply notes that Moses was the most humble man among all people, as you know, is Numbers chapter verse 3. Having heard the entirety of these conversations, God summoned Moses, Aaron, and Miriam to the tent of meeting. He then appeared before them and spoke. According to the Numbers chapter 12, verse 6 to 7, he said, Hear now my words, if there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, shall make myself known to him in a vision. I shall speak with him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my household. As you know, Miriam was a prophet, as in the Exodus chapter 15, verse 20, and Aaron was the high priest. Yet God declared that they did not possess the same level of authority as Moses. God explained that while he communicated his will to Miriam and Aaron through vision or dreams, that is, indirectly or metaphorically, he spoke to Moses face to face, clearly, directly, and explicitly. God highlights the distinction in how he dealt with them versus how he dealt with Moses, underscoring the difference in his relationship with each party. This implies a difference in the very dimension of their knowledge of God. While Miriam and Aaron could not fully grasp the intimate mysteries of God, Moses was one who clearly knew, understood, and carried out God's will. Jesus, too, spoke to his disciples regarding these very dimensions. According to the John chapter 15, verse 15, "No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you." In saying this, Jesus declared that he would no longer regard the disciples, those who believed him, as mere servants, but rather as his own friends. He then proceeded to explain the reason for this. The dimension of the servant is one which it is impossible to fully comprehend the works of God our Father. Therefore, in order to enable his disciples to clearly discern the Father's will, Jesus elevated them to the status of sons by embracing them as friends. In other words, while the dimension occupied by Miriam and Aaron was that of a servant, unable to fully grasp the God's works, Moses was treated as one who possessed clear and complete knowledge of all things, standing in the position of a son of God. Furthermore, God decisively came to Moses' defense. He proclaimed that he is faithful in all my house. You can find out the Numbers chapter 12, verse 7. In fact, these words stand as the only passage in the entire Bible where God himself personally declares a human being to be faithful and does so directly in the presence of other peoples. There is a passage stating that God granted the land of Canaan to Abraham because he observed his faithfulness. However, that declaration was not made in the presence of other human beings. According to the Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 8, I let you read that, "And thou didst find his heart faithful before thee, and didst make a covenant with him." What is even more astonishing is that God himself personally appeared to vindicate Moses' faithfulness and to stand in his defense. How truly remarkable is this? Does it not signify that God himself personally affirmed and acknowledged him? Indeed, was Moses not a man who received the blessing and power in all of history, one without precedent or equal? I pray that this blessing may descend often and be realized in both you and me. If so, what constitutes the base upon which God declared Moses to be faithful? First, we can discern the Moses' act of taking a Cushite woman as his wife, as recorded in Numbers chapter 12, stemmed from a heart truly faithful to God. Had Moses taken the Cushite woman and as a wife no less out of carnal desire, God who knows the innermost depths of the heart would surely have disciplined him before Miriam and Aaron had the chance to criticize him. The Cushite woman was not a member of the Canaanite tribe. However, as a descendant of Ham, she was a Gentile, thus taking her as a wife constituted as an act that directly challenged God's commandment prohibiting marriage with a foreigner. You can find at the Exodus chapter 34, verse 15 to 16. Indeed, even before the law regarding marriage to foreign woman was formally given, Scripture provides evidence of the distress such unions cause. Ishmael took an Egyptian woman as his wife. You can find at Genesis chapter 21, verse 21. And Isaac's son, Esau, became a source of deep grief to Isaac and Rebekah by choosing wife from the Hittites, a Canaanite tribes. Moses was acutely aware, far more so than Aaron and Miriam, that taking a Cushite woman as his wife appeared to be contrary to God's word. Although the Bible contains no explicit divine command instructing Moses to take a Cushite woman as his wife, given that Moses remained faithful to God's word in all matters, we can reasonably conclude that his actions were guided not by his own personal inclinations, but by a divine mandate. As I previously explained in my sermon titled "The Reason Moses Took a Cushite Woman," this act served as a foreshadowing, a symbolic illustration of God's redemptive plan. It demonstrates that God's salvation is not confined solely to Israel, but extends His gracious and saving hand to the Gentiles without discrimination, ultimately embracing all who confess Jesus as Lord, taking them as the very bride of Christ. Since the Bible does not explicitly record whether Moses was aware of this divine plan, we cannot know for certain. However, the fact that he offered no retort to the slander of Miriam and Aaron compels us to conclude that he clearly understood God's command and the mysteries of his redemption and chose to remain silent until God's will was fulfilled. This situation is akin to the time God commanded Abraham to offer Isaac as a burnt offering. Surely, Abraham of all peoples knew that God regarded the offering of a human being as a burnt sacrifice as the most abominable of acts. Moreover, when commanded to offer up Isaac, his only son, given to him as the promised heir, it would have seemed utterly impossible to comprehend or obey God's will. Yet, Abraham obeyed. He did so because he set aside his own thought and trust everything to God and submit to his will. In particular, as he journeyed with Isaac toward Mount Moriah, did not Isaac ask him, "We have the materials for the burnt offering, but where is the ram?" What must have been the state of Abraham's heart when asked that question? Could he possibly have replied, "You are the sacrifice"? Instead, he simply said, according to the Genesis chapter 22, verse 8, Abraham said, "God will provide for himself the ram for the burnt offering, my son." In the moment, Abraham reasoned by faith. He prayed in faith. According to the Hebrew chapter 11, verse 19, he considered that God is able to raise man even from the dead. So the witnessing Abraham's unwavering commitment to carrying out his will to the very end, God acknowledged him as a man faithful to him, as you know, is Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 8, and as one who truly feared him. You can see the Genesis chapter 22, verse 12. We must not overlook the fact that Moses, much like Abraham, was able to obey in faith even amidst the contradictions and in the matter concerning the Cushite woman precisely because of his meekness. According to the Numbers chapter 12 verse 3, now the man Moses was very humble, more than any man who was on the face of the earth. Here, the word is humble, the meekness, is the Hebrew is a noun. Originally carries the meaning of being poor or afflicted. It describes the act of a servant submitting to a master. In truth, Moses was not a meek, humble man from the very beginning. He was the kind of man who, upon seeing an Egyptian striking an Israelite, immediately struck and killed him. Although he understood, as Acts chapter 7 verse 25 note, that the God intend to deliver his kinsman through his hand, one must ask how severe must the beating have been for it to result in death. Criminal psychologists observe that the moment a person takes another's life is a moment filled with absolute evils. Moses was at the times a man utterly devoid of meekness. According to the Exodus chapter 2 verse 11 verse 2-12, I'd like to read one more time. Now it came about in those days, when Moses had grown up, then he went out to his brethren and looked on their hard labor, and he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his brethren. So he looked this way and that, and when he saw there was no one around, he struck down the Egyptian and hid him in the sands. However, in order to prepare him as the one who would lead the people of Israel in their exodus, God had him leave Egypt and undergo a 40 years process of refinement in the wilderness of Midian. How much personal anguish must Moses have endured during that time? Although he was a prince of Egypt, he constantly thought of his own people, yet his people failed to acknowledge him, and when his actions were exposed, he was forced to flee from those throughout Egypt who sought his life, ultimately becoming a shepherd for a foreign tribe. Would he not have harbored resentment toward God? For 40 years, God did not appear to him. Initially, he had attempted to fulfill God's will through his own strength and zeal, but he failed. Consequently, having fallen from the status of a prince to that of a shepherd tending the flocks of the foreigners, he must have experienced his own utter inadequacy in the most profound way. When God finally appears to him and entrusts him with a mission, what was Moses' initial response? According to the Exodus chapter 3, verse 11, Moses says to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh?" Right there. And as God continued to press the mission upon him, how did he respond? He claimed that he lacked eloquence. that he was unable to convey God's words directly and effectively to the people of Israel. According to the Exodus chapter 4, verse 10 and 13, I'd like to read for you. Then Moses says to the Lord, "Please, Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither recently nor in time past, nor since thou hast spoken to thy servant, for I am slow of speech and slow of tongue." Verse 13, but he said, "Please, Lord, now send the message by whomever thou wilt." However, the Bible testified that Moses had mastered all the learning of Egypt and was a man of great power in both speech and actions. According to the Act chapter 7, verse 22, "And Moses was educated in all the learning of the Egyptians, and he was a man of power in the words and deeds." From this, we can understand that God did not want Moses to rely on his own abilities or intellect. Rather, he knew that the 40 years in the wilderness of Midian were necessary to transform him into a meek and humble man, one who would really rely solely on God's word and obey it. Meekness was an indispensable virtue, one that the leader responsible for guiding the Israelites after Exodus from Egypt into the land of Canaan absolutely had to possess. God required a man who, as the instrument for fulfilling his grand plan of salvation, would submit his own thought and will to the will of God. Above all, God, who knows in advance that the Israelites would spend 40 years grumbling, complaining, and challenging his authority, recognized that the meekness was essential for patiently enduring and guiding his peoples. Had Moses attempted to lead them with the temperament he possessed 40 years earlier, countless people would surely have perished at his hand in the wilderness. What, then, constitutes the faithfulness Moses demonstrated throughout God's entire household? A faithfulness characterized by absolute humility, absolute meekness, and absolute obedience before God. He faithfully and precisely delivered God's word, his role, to the people of Israel. According to the Exodus chapter 24, verse 3, "Then Moses came and recounted to the people all the words of the Lord and all the ordinances. In the work of erecting the tabernacle, the visible house of God, everything was constructed exactly according to the pattern God had shown. You can find at the Exodus chapter 25 to chapter 40. And especially, I like to read Exodus chapter 39, verse 42 to 43. I'd like to read for you. "So the sons of Israel did all the work according to all that the Lord had commanded Moses. And Moses examined all the work, and behold, they had done it, just as the Lord had commanded this day had done. So Moses blessed them." Above all, because Moses perceived God's love for the people of Israel, he took their side despite their rebellious nature, and moved by the confession for them, served as an intercessor before God. He was even a man who went so far as to stake of his own eternal life in his prayers to God, pleading with him to turn away his wrath from the people of Israel. According to the Exodus chapter 32, verse 32. But now, if thou wilt forgive their sins, and if not, please blot me out from thy book which thou hast written. Although they were the wayward peoples, they were the very ones through whom God's redemptive will was to be fulfilled. Thus Moses, possessing the very heart of God, sincerely accepted and loved them. In today's scripture passage from the book of the Hebrews, this is expressed by the statement that Moses was faithful in all God's house. This implies something far beyond merely being diligent in the specific task interest to him. Rather, it signifies that he fulfilled the mission assigned to him within the grand scope of God's entire redemption history, doing so with gentleness and humility. Above all, his entire life was the result of faith. Rather than being called the son of a princess, he chose to suffer with the people of God, and he regarded the disgrace the bold fought for Jesus as more valuable than all the treasure of Egypt. What made him this way? It was precisely because he was looking forward to the reward he would receive from God. According to the Hebrews chapter 11, verse 25 to 26, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasure of sin. Considering the reproach of Christ, greater riches than the treasure of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. Because he conducted everything by faith, God declared him to be faithful. Dear beloved saints, this is because God does not entrust his work to just anyone. In the world, when people entrust a task to someone, they assess that person's capabilities, the qualification, or credentials. However, when God seeks to entrust his work to someone, he looks for only one thing, that is faithfulness. Undoubtedly, the work of God's desire may not always align with what we desire, yet we must remain faithful by believing that God's intent and purpose lies within those circumstances and by obeying him right where we stand. According to the Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29, the scripture said, "The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our sons forever, that we may observe all the words of this law." Amen. Just like Moses, as just like Abraham, the path of acknowledging our limitations, relying on God and obeying him is the only true way to live. According to the 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, is that the scripture said, "Let a man regard us in this manner as a servant of Christ and the stewards of the mysteries of God. In this case, moreover, it is required of steward that one be found trustworthy." Amen. Only through integrity and faithfulness can we follow in the footsteps of Moses and the pioneer of the faith, to complete the race of faith that the Lord has set before us. At the finish line, I pray that each and every one of you, just like Moses, may personally hear God's voice of commendations, "Well done, good and faithful servant. enter into the joy of your master. Amen. Let us pray together. We thank you, Father, for loving us once again today and for providing us with the bread of life. You have deemed us trustworthy and appointed us as a steward of your work. Therefore, grant us the grace to carry out the duties and responsibility entrusted to us with the obedience and faithfulness. Like Moses, we too desire to have our faithfulness acknowledged in your presence, Father. Help us to diligently discipline ourselves daily according to your word so that our lives may be characterized by obedience in all things. Prevent our own thought from taking precedence and keep us from presumptuously occupying a press meant only for you, O God. Instead, may we all rely solely on the grace and wisdom that descend from above, listening to the guidance of the Holy Spirit and acting upon it as we carry out your work, Father. As we offer these prayers and petitions, we pray earnestly in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.